tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome back, Masters of Sex fans, to another Masters of Sex After Buzz recap show. With me, as always, Quinn Skillian.
Hi, guys.
Adrian Snow cannot be with us today, unfortunately. And I'm Will Link. But we are going to break down. I'm sorry Adrian wasn't here because this had to have been the most bizarre episode. There have been, what, about 30-some-odd episodes of the show. This one takes the cake.
I mean, and there are some things that happen in this show that make you kind of cringe. I was cringy McCringerson.
There were multiple moments when we were watching it where you were like, this is really uncomfortable.
I was like, is this a dream? She's going to wake up, right? This is a dream.
Well, let's just start off the bat with the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is literally an 800-pound gorilla.
Oh, my God.
Gil the gorilla is not mating.
Mm-hmm.
And so you bring in the great sex experts, Masters and Johnson, mm-hmm. to help Gil with his problem. And the way this storyline starts in the episode, it's, you know, it kind of makes sense because you could see, like, Bill even says later about kind of evolutionary research, stuff like that. But it goes in an odd direction.
I mean, the conversation that they had with Gil's former keeper.
Yes, played by Alex Borstein.
Alex Borstein.
Loretta.
The name is Loretta. Was going in such an awkward way. I was are they going to, has she been jerking off this gorilla?
I mean, that was clearly what was implied. Because here's the thing. Loretta is, you know, Gil hasn't been able to mate since Loretta left. And
Loretta,
she left under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah, like, it was really cloudy. It was kind of like, kind of under wraps or whatever. And the way that she was talking about him was like an ex-boyfriend. She was like, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I'm finally getting my life back together. Then you guys come in here.
Gil and I were friends.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure, tonally, I wasn't sure if the scene was supposed to be being played for laughs. Plus, it helps that you have, you know, Alex Borstein, very funny comedic actress
in
there. But at the same time, there was such a seriousness to it.
I thought she was great. She was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, she did a great job. So clearly, what is not being said is that Loretta was exposing herself to Gil, right?
Right.
Much like Virginia does later.
It's crazy to me that they were like, I don't know, I just, when he was like pointing at her and they're like, oh, you were supposed to expose yourself, I'm just like, I'm surprised that they figured that out without having Loretta or anybody else explain to them that that was happening.
Well, I mean, I kind of could see how they could come to that, because I mean, clearly from the second he sees Virginia and the second I heard that the ex-keeper was a woman, I knew, like, oh, he's attracted to the human female.
So I thought
that was what Loretta was doing, but I guess there was still part of me that here's the thing, though. It seems a little creepy, especially the way Loretta was talking about it. But really, at the end of the day, is it that creepy?
I remember reading this horrible, I read this article online that I wish I never read it because I can't, forget it now. I can't unsee it.
Yeah.
It's this article about these workers at SeaWorld.
Okay.
Being, sexual with the dolphins.
Well, dolphins are very sexual animals.
Yeah.
And dolphins have, raped people.
And so this wouldn't be the first time that, a zookeeper or, you know, SeaWorld whatever keeper had gotten, a little too close to the animals.
So are we to think that possibly at zoos across America, female zookeepers are exposing themselves to gorillas and orangutans and things like that?
Well, you know, now there's got to be cameras all around the zoo. It's not so, you know. Everyone would know.
I guess it's, but I mean, so here's the way this goes down. First of all, when they finally do go, Virginia is very big on taking up this gorilla case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of parallels, of course, in this episode to, like, gorillas and men. And there's one mm-hmm. cross-cut where when Jane, and we'll get to Jane's storyline later.
There's a couple little cross-cuts in this. Yeah. Kind of like little tongue-in-cheek edits.
Yeah, it goes from her and Keith right to the Gil the Gorilla.
Yeah.
And Virginia giving Gil this pep talk.
Because Jane was trying to kind of coax Keith and kind of, they were doing the non-sexual touching and everything because she was helping him with his impetus. That's what was happening plot-wise. She's kind of be like, I'm here with you. And, you know, she's having to give him, you know, all, you know, trying to pump him up and everything. And then that was changed right with, you know, I think, with.
Do you have the quote?
Yeah. Where she's like, and I'm gonna tell, Jane was like, I'm gonna tell you, and it cuts to Virginia saying, who's a handsome gorilla?
Yeah, she's really building him up. I mean, but again, this scene is very, tonally, I'm not sure if it completely worked, though, if I'm to be honest, because it goes.
The scene when she was exposing herself?
Yes, because it goes from this, it goes from this level of where they don't want us to take it completely seriously. Mm-hmm, like, yeah. She's this cheerleader for this gorilla. And Bill is kind of giving her a little crap because he's been giving her crap all episode. He doesn't want on the gorilla case. And he also has this thing going with Dan, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But then when it gets to the point where she's going to expose her breasts to the gorilla, he says very, like, I felt like there was no irony in the statement. No one gives of themselves like you to Virginia, and like that no one's able to help people like you mm-hmm. do. And then she slowly takes off her shirt, and I felt at that moment it was not being played for laughs. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you thought it was still. I don't know.
I didn't think it was funny.
Okay,
there
good.
There wasn't one part of that scene that I thought was funny. I was literally shaking in my boots. It was horrible.
I'd be curious to know what the viewers think, if they thought this scene was, because. But I think it walks a line, and I don't think. I think it undermined itself a little bit, this one scene.
Yeah, well, maybe also because, like, the gorilla doesn't look that real. And so it's kind of hard to take it completely seriously.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really suspend your disbelief there.
I mean, it's clear there's a guy in a well-crafted gorilla suit,
yeah,
but still
we'll
know
credit
it's...
Where credit's due.
But still we know it's a guy in a suit. It doesn't look like the new Planet of the Apes movies or anything like that.
Yeah, and maybe, like, because, like, gorillas are kind of scary, and this gorilla isn't, like, that scary.
No.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, that's because he's having sexual problems.
That's true. I mean, this girl has had, like, 21 babies, apparently.
Yeah, with seven different female gorillas.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's a theme in this episode also about publicity.
And money and, you know, exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny that Virginia says she's very high on doing this gorilla experiment because, one, she's like, this creature needs our help. But, two, she's like, this could be publicity.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it at the end of the day, she is too embarrassed to want to talk about it.
I mean, who would?
I guess so.
I mean,
we're looking at this from, I mean, I guess... Even today, it'd be a weird thing to go around at a dinner party telling people something you did.
No, you absolutely wouldn't. And I think that she was just kind of caught up in the moment, kind of like where she was coaching the gorilla. All of a sudden, Bill was coaching her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can do it. And, you know, kind of fluffing her ego. So I think she just was, like, caught up in that moment.
There's a lot of that in this episode.
Yeah.
Well, let's move away from the monkey business, if you will, which was, I neglected to say at the beginning, the title of this episode.
Monkey business?
Yes. Although I always like to point out.
That's funny, I didn't even see that.
I always like to point out, gorillas are apes, not monkeys. Pet peeve of mine.
Yeah,
I know it's a punny title. Pet peeve of mine.
They do like the punny titles, Masters of
do.
Sex.
Yeah,
they always have
they
funny
do.
Ones.
Punny but
ones.
Anyway, the episode begins with Dan and Virginia, and this is clearly what we saw at the end of last week's episode, was not just a one-night thing.
Yeah, they're kind of an item.
And he definitely wants it to be more than an item.
Were we wondering maybe at the beginning, is she with Bill or is she with Dan? Because it almost looked like her bedroom for a minute. Maybe.
Oh, you mean at the beginning of the episode?
Yeah, it kind of starts panning over, and it took me, like, until, like, he said something to me, like, oh, it's Dan. I couldn't tell who it was.
They didn't reveal his face right away. I guess they wanted us... Thinking.
We haven't seen Bill and Virginia. Oh, no, actually we have. The beginning of last episode. Feels like we're seeing them be, like, intimate with each other a lot less lately.
Well, you know, in the last two episodes, there's been a big chasm building in their relationship. And Dan is trying to fill it. And Dan has sensed this. I mean, last episode he said something about, oh, have you and Bill ever put the monitors on you and gotten in there? And now he's being a little more blunt about this in the beginning. Like, he is talking about Bill a lot in this opening, and she's clearly uncomfortable with this.
I mean, as if his hunch wasn't enough, then we have Tessa pretty much spill the beans entirely.
Yes.
So that secret's pretty much
a
non-secret.
Well, there's this great, and got to give a lot of credit to Josh Charles and Michael Sheen. They are doing this great kind of quiet war between the two of them.
It is a silent battle.
They both know that they both want Virginia, and they're trying to undermine each other in any way possible.
Yeah.
Very quietly. And I'm waiting for this at some point to explode.
We're going to have some fisticuffs, I'm sure.
I mean, right away, the first time we see Bill in this episode, he's talking about, oh, you know, why doesn't... Well, no, we need a chemist to figure out the pheromone issue.
Just like, being such a...
Go back to New York, Dan Logan.
Yeah. He's like... Yeah, he's... Because he thinks that Dan Logan... Which is weird, because he's saying Dan Logan's study is... They've hit a wall.
Yeah.
But we made such huge strides in the last episode, so that was kind of like, but, oh...
That's just all Bill wanting to get him out of there.
Okay.
He doesn't want the competition of...
For Virginia's affection.
Yeah. And there's a question Dan asks early on, like, who takes care of Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
And, look, Virginia doesn't really need anyone to take care of her. And all these guys are just itching to.
And, like, I think that, like, all these guys give her, like, they put her on such a pedestal. Because it's like, you know, how often do we talk about Virginia as being, like, kind of, like, you know, a negligent mother? It's like, she doesn't need someone to take care of her. She needs to go take care of her kids.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, there is that thing, and it's so, when we're talking about women of the 60s, and this comes into play later, certainly with Betty and Helen, but there was that whole thing in episode 2 of the season where Bill was basically telling her, like, she should be able to have both. But you're right, she hasn't found the right balance yet, and her daughter still clearly resents her.
And that's another silent battle that we're seeing happen, too, between Tessa and Virginia. It's just this, like...
Well, Virginia doesn't even know her daughter undermining her, too.
She has no idea.
She doesn't know the daughter knows about Bill.
Yeah.
Doesn't know that Dan wants her as well.
And that she was, you know, she's been working at the office, and that she's kind of, like, running around kind of all sneaky-like.
Now, that first scene I actually thought did work for both dramatic and comedic effect. When Tessa first starts talking to Dan, notices Dan noticing Virginia, and they have this good back and forth, and it keeps going back to this, who are you? Who are you? And Tessa, always one to, like you said, tried to undermine her mother, keeps her mouth shut of who she really is and why such a young girl would be working in the sex researcher office.
Yeah, and then later when her identity is still, you know, concealed, she really lays into Virginia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was like, she was like shit-talking her mom.
Well, she...
I was like such...
Yeah.
So catty and like middle school girl to be like, she's a bitch.
Yeah, don't get involved with her.
Seriously, that's exactly what it was. Like, it reminded me of like high school, like shit talking.
This girl has a lot of this woman's got a lot of problems.
But she does not even see her mother as like an authority figure at all.
Yeah.
She sees her as like a contemporary, pretty much.
I can't remember the exact wording, but there was like something like, well, she's pretty enough and she knows how to use it or whatever.
I know. It's not how people talk about their parents.
I guess maybe if your parent did write the definitive book on sex.
Maybe.
We see how, I mean, we've seen it, like, she's constantly embarrassed by her mother being part of this study.
I know, but I say don't fight it.
No, at this point, she should be, because it's better than the alternative of her grandmother we discovered last week.
Which is the exact, it's pretty much the opposite extreme.
So, Dan keeps getting determined and determined to try to find a way to get Virginia out and get her out from under Bill. And, of course, the perfect thing comes along, the movie premiere of The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, the Don Knotts film.
Yeah, and, the old classic.
Oh, the classic. And he decides, because he's going to bring the whole office to the premiere of the movie because they're testing out the butter-like flavor substitute on the popcorn in the theater.
I'm very familiar.
I know. We saw quietly...
I understand the product.
Quietly behind the scenes here, we saw history being made in food additives and things like that.
Like, so we're in the 60s, yeah. But that's like the height of like the processed, like, you know, what are the words I'm looking for? Like the DDT, like the you know
the before
the preservatives and everything like that. Yeah,
the start of the GMOs and things like that. It's exciting. That'll be. I want a Dan Logan spinoff series where it's just him creating new food additives and smells. But so he wants to bring the whole office there, and Virginia's like, "Yeah, let's go. It'll be fun." But then all of a sudden, Bill's very excited about the gorilla research at this point. Mm. He wants to bring. He's like, "No. We've got big work to do, and it might take all day." And this was another moment.
No, he said it might take all night.
That's true. But here's what's so funny. Because this was another moment where when we were watching it, you were like, this is getting really uncomfortable.
This is so weird.
That conversation, it is...
Oh, my God. I literally wrote, I was like, this Dan-Virginia-Bill conversation that seemed to never end. And it seemed like we weren't even talking about anything. It was, like, slow and awkward and, like... Why aren't we cutting away yet?
this one, I had tonal issues with the exposing herself to the gorilla scene, but this one I kind of loved. And I kind of loved watching it with you.
Oh, I think you were supposed to squirm. Yeah, absolutely supposed to squirm.
Yeah, I loved watching it with you because you were squirming so much, and it made me realize, yeah, these three have such an uncomfortable relationship with each other. And like we said, all this unspoken stuff, and... It's coming out in drips and drabs and snippy little comments and ideas, and it did go on forever.
Talk about high school, you know what I mean? Like, these people just can't have, like, an actual conversation. Everything is just, like, this, like, sneaky. Yeah, it's just so sneaky and, like, quiet. It's, like, quiet warfare. Silent warfare.
Thank God. I've never been happier to see Tessa walk into a room. Because she comes in and interrupts it, and that's when... She's introduced to Dan as Virginia's daughter.
By the way.
Yeah.
I'm her daughter.
Do you think... Well, you know, actually, I was about to say if you thought this had any effect on how Dan views Virginia because, you know, her daughter was talking so much smack about her.
Well, yeah. I also think that, like, Dan needs to be like, hey, do you know that she's, like, kind of mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we need to talk. It needs to be addressed to Virginia that Tess is having some serious emotional problems right now. And so, you know, maybe this is the first time that someone's actually going to be, like, to Virginia, be like, yo, you got an issue on your hands here that you probably need to, like, you know, at least be aware of.
Yeah.
Because no one's really told her yet that, like... Like, Virginia has no idea that Tessa, like, is so mad and angry and, like, frustrated.
But at the same time, Dan, who I'm starting to think, although when we first met him, I thought he was a bit of a creep, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now I'm starting to think he might actually be, although he's got a wife and he's cheating on her. So decent of a guy can he be?
But, I mean, he's made it seem like he's very open. Like we said, there's full disclosure there. You know, as long as, you know, I mean, I think that's the case. We've never met his wife. I'm sure we will. Just to kind of see, like, is he, you know, does his wife know that he's kind of having an affair? Because he kind of made it seem like that was the case for him, which makes us be able to kind of...
Be more forgiving.
And I'm thinking, if we don't meet his wife, then what's the point of him having one?
That he eventually has to leave Virginia and go back to his wife. Like, just when Virginia finally fully gives herself into Dan, Dan's going to...
He's going to be like, oh, by the way.
Because he is going to have to... He's not going to live in St. Louis forever.
No, he's from New York, right?
Yeah, this is just a fleeting thing. But, I think he's going to go the other way and keep Tessa as kind of a confidant ally, because she already fed him the biggest piece of information that it confirmed his belief that they were sleeping together, that Bill and Virginia were sleeping together.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to see what happens. You know, I mean, like we said, we kind of like were I'm getting a call from Saskatchewan. So our first
maybe it's a gorilla up there that needs to.
Our first introduction to Dan was, oh, he seems like a creep, and then we've kind of warmed up to him a little bit. So maybe I wonder if his inner creep will come back out, you know, in the form of you know, using Tessa for information.
Well. How that kind of story ends in this episode is they eventually, Bill and Virginia, have a meeting with Newsweek, an interview, and Bill has been needling Virginia the past two episodes, really. And this is where he's really, she doesn't want to talk about the ape thing.
Yeah.
And they get down there and they're like, oh, do you have any cases? The Newsweek guy's asking, and any interesting cases? And he goes, well, one with an ape. And the look on Virginia's face is like,
you,
oh my God.
Asshole.
Yeah, you are going to betray me.
Yeah.
And then he says, Al Ape Neely, the football.
Yeah, he comes up with some, like, you know, he comes up with some covert way to still say the ape story without actually having to, like, say the ape story.
But the subtext of everything he's doing is giving her crap. And clearly, this is what, at the end of the episode, she's back there with Dan, just how the episode began, and he's driving her away. And Bill is one of these people, he's too in his own world to ever realize that he is doing that. But he thinks, I'm fighting the good fight against Dan Logan. But no, he's driving Virginia right into Dan's arms.
Yeah, I think that Bill is a little too comfortable, because he has Libby and he has Virginia. I was thinking that earlier when he wasn't sure if he was going to help Keith or not, because Keith is alone. And I was like, see, maybe like Bill doesn't understand the threat of and how scary it is to be alone, because he doesn't think that that's ever going to happen to him.
He feels he'll always have someone.
He'll always have someone.
I'm glad you brought up Keith, because now that we're kind of done with Bill and Virginia, there was a lot of focus on some side characters, some supporting characters.
Yeah, we saw a lot of Betty. We got to see Helen today. I thought Sarah Silverman was much more Sarah Silverman-y this time around than we saw her in previous seasons.
Well, when we saw her last season, she was trying to get, but she was a little conniving.
I mean, performance-wise.
Oh, okay.
Like, Sarah Silverman's kind of like, she was like, she really went full Sarah Silverman, whereas, like, I actually think that she was a little bit more period last time we saw her.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Especially where we first meet her. In this episode where she's going on about this dream she had about
almost,
the rabbit.
It almost sounded like we were listening to one of her sticks.
It was, she's talking about, I wouldn't be shocked if she like semi-ad-libbed that, because she's talking about the rabbit going into her vagina and then a baby coming out.
Yeah.
But you know what I loved about this? First of all, I love this season that they kind of in earlier episodes just drop a lot of hints and a lot of, you know, a lot of time has passed between the seasons even. And two episodes ago, it was Betty mentioned Helen just in passing.
I know, and we were like, we should see her soon.
And then we see her. And I like that they're not just holding things. They're letting us kind of know information. Same thing with Barton, like, is he going to take a job with him? And then next episode, there wasn't a big scene where Barton comes in and, like, I'm going to work here.
You mean they don't spoon feed us. We can get it. It's elliptical. You know, we can kind of follow along.
Why do we need to see? We know she's going to be with Helen, so why do we need to see how they got back together, you know?
Yeah, that's
same
totally
thing
fine.
With Lester,
with Lester
and Jane.
Yeah, same thing. And, you know, we've had some baby issues with Betty before when she was, you know, she was going through all of the treatments, all the capping and stuff, knowing full well that she, you know, couldn't carry a child.
Which is why she's so familiar with this procedure.
With the procedure and everything. And I was a little bit freaked out to see her like, am I going to stick this catheter in you? I'm like, Betty, have you been trained? But anyway, I thought it was really interesting to come back to the baby thing for Betty, because that was kind of like a huge thing for her.
I also love the whole, and I'm a sucker for any time, especially in a show in like the 60s, and I was a sucker for this with Mad Men, anytime you're really getting into the sexual politics of things.
Oh, definitely.
And this episode did a lot of great stuff with that, because first of all, Betty and Helen living together, they don't seem to be hiding it, really, from at least people they know.
But wait, Betty was talking to Bill about, like, what about a friend? Like, what if you have a friend who's definitely gonna be there for 18 years? Remember that conversation?
Yes.
It was so weird. I wonder why Bill knows.
But she doesn't want to see, I don't think she wanted to tell her it was for them.
But she could have been like, what about lesbians? You know what I mean?
Well, I guess.
Why didn't she just say that?
I guess Bill is. Maybe what Bill doesn't know. The only reason I feel like they're. Because how blunt they were with Austin at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
By the way, great to have his character back.
I love you, McDreamy.
But, maybe they are. I don't know. I feel
because, or she could be like, hypothetically, what if two lesbians wanted to adopt? I feel like that would have been an okay question for Bill.
Well, I think she knows. If Bill's against a single woman having a baby and raising it, I have a feeling he'd be against lesbians. Just because, because of the sexual politics of the time.
Yeah, but he would be more afraid for them socially than their ability to actually be able to rear a child.
And he would be afraid for the child socially and be better off never.
I mean, I would understand if that was his stance, but it just kind of felt like, Bill's kind of the guy you can say that stuff.
I guess it's also though the kind of thing like, if you ask once and you don't get the permission, if you ask for permission, then you're screwed.
Then you're screwed.
So
better always to ask for forgiveness than permission. And my dad taught me that.
Yeah, go in there and inseminate your girlfriend.
And just be like, oops, I guess she's pregnant now.
Yeah, and no one would have ever known, really, in theory, except the night janitor who didn't care.
Do you think that that's going to come back?
No, I think that night janitor.
I think that was just for fun,
But they,
I think they chose a good choice.
They want a baby, and you know what? It's funny, I didn't even think of, and obviously I should think of it, that, adoption agencies wouldn't be letting single women.
They still don't.
I guess not.
You know, I mean, they do now more, but it's still, I mean, so much red tape.
Well, that surprised me. I guess this is a thing other than the episode, though, but with so many kids who could probably benefit by having a good home, why would they be so against, someone who wants... I don't know.
Haven't you heard that, theory about that, homosexuals are going to fix population control?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's just something that people on the internet say.
Okay.
Hi, Internet.
The internet speaks.
Yeah, you can always count on the internet to give a wonderful stance on these subjects.
Well, Bill even, talk about the sexual politics again, he basically says, why would a woman want that? And suggests... A woman could just have a one-night stand, go to a bar, any guy drinking enough gin.
I'm like, isn't that so romantic, Belle?
It's another,
exactly how everyone wants to get impregnated.
It's another one of those great moments where we look at Belle and we're like, for a man who's so advanced, what are you doing?
You're an ape. You're an absolute gorilla.
They end up deciding not to do, because they're kind of upset about lack of choice and they don't know what to pick from these sperm donors and... They decide to go to a doctor that they know. Austin, so glad to have him back.
It's funny because, they were so nervous about a good heart. It's like, would we say that Austin has the best heart?
I think he's a cheater.
Yeah.
But I think he's actually, a decent human being, just like Dan Logan.
But maybe we hadn't seen enough of him lately. I couldn't remember where we were with him.
The last time we saw him, he was with, oh my God, I can't remember the character's name, but she had the diet pills, Flo. He was working for her.
That's right.
That's the last time we saw Austin.
The diet pills. I totally forgot. He was hawking these pills.
And he was sleeping with her, basically.
Even though she was like a very curvy woman. And he was like, what's going on?
And I remember where we left off, she had like a lot of family with political heft that he was like, oh, I should get involved with this. And she was going to, was it Kennedy's inauguration?
Yeah. Okay. It's all coming back.
That's where we
left
off.
Okay.
Wait, is that where she was going?
I don't know.
It couldn't have been you, was.
Do you think that they're going to do capping, or do you think that Helen and Austin are going to do the deed?
I think they're going to do the deed.
Okay.
I think they're going to do the deed.
Make a night of it.
By the way, he now, owns a strip club?
Was he the owner, or was he the doctor there?
Oh, okay. They were talking about doctors
if you're doing all these crazy stuff with your body, you're going to need a chiropractor.
They were talking about, an orthopedist or things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I just assumed because...
To own a strip club. Is that crazy?
I want him to own a strip
club. I would so rather him be the doctor at a strip club than be the owner of the strip club.
What strip club employs a doctor, though? Do strip clubs... maybe I've not been to...
It was the 60s. Who knows? You know what I mean? They took care of those ladies.
I'm going to take care of the ladies. We're bringing in a doctor.
Yeah.
A doctor to examine all of you.
It's like on a sports team, how they have to have a special training doctor to wrap the ace bandage and everything. Same thing.
Well, this must be a high-class strip club.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I got to watch the scene again because I thought he owned it. But I don't know. You might be right there.
I don't know.
I think you might be as crazy as the
kind
of
thing. But now that I'm hearing myself say it, it's crazy that they're a doctor at a strip club. So I don't know.
We have to rewatch it. Either way, he's working at a strip club. He has a position of power at a strip club.
I think that sounds like a good fit.
The other great storyline, we got a lot of Jane and Lester, and we haven't had a ton of them this season. We've barely had any Jane since she's been reintroduced.
You know what? And better. I'm bored by her.
Really? Already? She was gone all last season.
I know, but I really like Lester, and there's something about Jane that's so plain.
Well, she did leave Lester in the past.
And that sucks. You go, oh, why? Yeah. I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't care that she went back. I mean, like, hello, Rachel and Ross. Like, obviously, I don't care. But I just feel like... I just feel like she doesn't seem to like him very much.
No, and he's made a lot of allusions to how, you know, how difficult it is at home and stuff like that. But then again,
and she's like, you know, oh, like, we'll give you a job because you're just a housewife and you're so bored and all this stuff.
But then again, I mean, I feel like when she talks to him like in the scene when they were watching the film of the other women and then watched her and then she got on top of him and was all like, it seemed loving except for the fact.
It seemed manipulative.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, there was a loving tone to it. I don't know, but I mean, she does care about him on some level. They have children together.
About it that feels like she wanted to go be the star in Hollywood, and now she's doing Oliver at she's doing community theater, and she's with Lester, and I think that she just feels like she's settling, and I don't know.
Well, she probably does feel that a little bit, and that goes back to she was bored. Now, here's the thing: she brings in her friend Keith, who is a single guy who's impotent. And he basically feels this needs to be fixed, otherwise I'll never get a woman. Mm-hmm. I can't.
Is this catch-22 that he's in, that he can't find a girlfriend because he's impotent, but he can't fix it because he's single.
And, exactly.
That very well, but whatever.
No, I think they got it. So he decides he's going to go to Dr. Masters, and Dr. Masters does not want to take on a single client. He doesn't want to take on a man by himself, which actually, that kind of surprised me. I would have thought they would have been more open to something like that.
I don't think I ever knew it was just couples only. Yeah. Or at least so staunchly.
Yeah, I figured anyone with a sexual dysfunction could go there and deal with it. But I guess, again, we're still in the mid-60s, and I guess there's still this idea of if they're helping, it's promoting promiscuity and stuff like that.
But also, I mean, they were pairing up couples randomly during the sex study.
Yes. So why not do that for
So why
for
not
Keith?
Do it now?
Well, Keith, he turns Keith down to his face, and then there is we started laughing because we cut to Keith's in his car and the car won't start.
It's like, oh, his engine doesn't work.
Impotence metaphor.
Yeah.
And luckily, I'm so glad the show called out.
The show called it out. It was a little too obvious to be like.
And Keith's like, what are you?
Did you catch it? Did you catch what we did there?
Keith was very much winking at us with that.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, Bill then takes some pity on him and decides to, we're going to help Keith.
Yeah.
But what's the way to do that? We have to find a partner with a sexual dysfunction.
Can't go at it alone.
They're like, maybe we could look through the letters, find someone else, and they talk about the whole Lester Barb thing, about these two people who had sexual issues.
Jane never knew that Lester had this problem. She never knew.
That surprised, I guess it shouldn't surprise me because he doesn't want to maybe tell his wife I couldn't get it up.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, curious. I don't think they were going to go into it, but I was a little bit curious to hear what had ended up happening with Lester and Barb's relationship.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I just said about how I love, like, they don't bog us down the little details.
Yeah.
But I would like a detail or two more on how that ended. But you know what? I'm thinking we might get it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, maybe just, like, a throwaway one-sentence kind of whatever. And then we'd all go, oh, I see what happened. And then we would never have to talk about it again.
I mean, was it just that Jane came back to him? Jane realized the mistake, came back, and he was like, well,
With open arms, and, you know, now that his problem was fixed.
And he never had an issue with Jane because he always wanted Jane. He always loved Jane. And it was really when she left him, it was just psychologically how he felt. He felt less then, and he talks about that. And I thought that was actually a really good scene.
I thought so too.
But you're right. How much is it that she cares about him, and how much is it her being manipulating?
I don't know. That's why I like Lester so much more than her, that it's hard for me to get emotionally invested in whatever she's got going on.
Well, you know, Jane has an idea of how to help Keith.
Yeah.
And she brings it up to Masters in Virginia, and she says, well, why don't I help Keith?
And they were like, well, about Lester? And she was like, well, Lester, blah-da-da.
So then she brings it up to Lester, mm-hmm. and he is obviously not thrilled with the idea.
Less than enthused.
Yes, and I can't blame him on this.
I just, yeah, it feels like she's just asking permission to cheat.
It does. It does. Although I have some thoughts about that, but I might save them from predictions because it's the only prediction I think I have right now.
Okay, fair enough.
But
keep us waiting with bated breath.
I will. But Lester lets her do it. I mean, he gives her the okay to go, and he sees her go into the other room with Keith. And he knows what's going on. And Lester is a lot more progressive than I would be in this situation.
I just think he lets himself get stepped on. He's going to have this. He's probably going to have a problem again after this.
He probably is. I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
I didn't either until just now. We'll have to wait and see.
He probably is, because that's a lot for him to have to deal with.
So much.
And she is the idea she's going to... I don't know.
As we haven't seen them really be a happily married couple. If we had seen a couple clips here and there of lovey-dovey, so happy, blah, 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 that would be one thing. But we haven't seen that at all. We have seen a little bit of contention. We have seen frustration. We have seen, you know, not much of Lester at all. So, you know.
So we agree that we don't think Lester's buying into the whole... and it could be honest from Jane's point, but he's not buying into the whole, like, I just want to help people. Mm-hmm. I just want to help impotent men by having sex with them.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, she does make a good point, though. Jane has been very, very on board with everything about the study from day one. She's always, you know, she said, I always believed in the work that they were doing. I think it's incredibly important. And that's true. You know what I mean?
The one other person we really have to talk about, and she didn't have a lot to do in this episode, is Libby.
She didn't have a lot, but what I did like what she did have. I thought there was some really good stuff in there. She had that whole kind of, she pretty much, you know, came forward with Paul about, you know, I've been living in this fantasy, you know what I mean, and I'm trying to do whatever I can so I don't go crazy.
She really relates to the idea that Paul had this fantasy about his life, and she's trapped in the same thing.
And
she's
in this unhappy marriage. She completely shattered his illusion.
And she's going to take that apartment full time now, off his hands. She came in with a check,
but he didn't take it. The apartment's paid up for 6 months. So. Yeah,
but I think he said at the later when they see each other, I think he said that she could have the apartment.
Okay.
So this is going to be, and I know you were last week. You were. Shipping these two.
Yeah, pretty much. I still kind of am. I mean, like, especially now that we've got... I mean, like, any time Libby gets to open up to someone emotionally, I always like that person. Because she's just, like, so trapped that I feel like whenever... Any single time she feels comfortable enough to tell someone all of these things that we as viewers know, when she actually gets to vocalize those things to someone, I always have, like, an affinity for them.
And Paul, he really... he kind of, I mean, when he said to her, like, oh, and seeing you come over was, like that made him feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, is that just because he liked having somebody to talk to, or do you think there's another level of feelings he has for her?
I certainly think that we'll see something romantic between these two, but I think that what he meant there was just like, this is a lonely time I'm going through. And even in the previously on, they were like, he's like, I'm sitting here, I feel like I'm sitting here with a corpse. You know what I mean? So I really think that it's just like, someone to breathe a little bit of fresh air into his life, something, you know what I mean?
I mean, these are easily the two most lonely people on the show.
Yeah.
So I, you know what, I'm, you know what, at this point, I'm with you. I ship them too.
Just always just want Libby to be happy. Can we talk about Johnny?
That was the last thing I wanted to get into.
Why
here.
Why is he always reading? Can we read something into him always reading?
He's just a bookish kid.
He's just a bookish kid. I'm wondering if this is like some kind of like, I don't know if we should worry about it. This is like escapism or...
Well, it's a very also solitary act.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a way that he can kind of isolate himself.
Because he's always reading. They've made that very clear that he's like, I mean, especially today, really like hit home. But he just knows it's always in a book, and I was just wondering if there was a larger picture there.
Well, he's not always reading. Sometimes he's burning Bill's football cards, prized football cards.
I thought the house was gonna go up in flames.
I thought there were, until, well, then the second Bill walked in, I'm like, oh, he's gonna take it. But for a second, I thought, like, oh, what's gonna happen?
I don't know. Now, a silent fuck you.
I mean, he...
So much silent warfare in this episode.
I mean, there really is. And this is a big problem. And I guess this is a big problem of people in the 60s in general. And this is why they have all these deep-rooted sexual psychological issues. Everyone
wants to be these, like, Levittown, Susie Homemaker, perfect white picket fence kind of people.
And every time Bill tries to talk to Johnny now, Johnny shuts him down.
Johnny's like,
oh, and Johnny just like, I gotta go to bed. Like,
Even though a second ago he was begging his mom to stay up.
Well, look, there's going to be all these people who aren't talking to each other are going to come to blows at some point. And when Bill finds out what Johnny's doing with his cards, because he loves that football card collection.
More than he loves anything else.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You know, and he's showing it to... But I mean, last episode he was showing it to Dennis, mm-hmm. little bully Dennis.
We didn't see Dennis in this episode.
No, but that's clearly why Johnny's lashing out with the football cards.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, is this what connects you to someone other than me?
Yeah.
Torch it.
So I think that's just about every character.
It.
Like I said, a lot of supporting characters in this episode.
Yeah.
Got a lot of time, which I was very happy for. We've been yelling for more Betty.
More Betty. We got a lot of Betty.
And I feel like we're going to get even more Betty now that Betty's going to be, you know, along with Helen.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for more Austin,
mother.
Too. I didn't even realize I missed him until he came back.
I was wondering if he was going to come back at all, but I'm so glad. This show always seems to bring people back.
Yeah.
And I like that about it.
So maybe we will see Barb, you know?
Maybe we'll. I hope we do, because I want to, like, even if it's just a scene where, like, Lester's out with Jane and they run into Barb somewhere and it's awkward and maybe that fills in some of the gaps.
Yeah.
Or maybe Barb has a sexual problem and has to come back in.
I was going to say, I'm actually curious to see where she's at, because her problem was a pretty deep-rooted one.
Yeah.
Just to see where she is psychologically would be really interesting.
I mean, yeah, hers was from, Lester was from a pained relationship with Jane, but hers was a deep-rooted psychological issue from her childhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you want to do some predictions?
Let's do some predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
So, would you like to start?
You know, I'm curious to see if anything happens with this whole gorilla thing, if that becomes, like, a huge scandal, like a huge faux pas. If, like, you know, if that comes to light and everything, I'm really, really interested to see what happens there. Other than that, you know, like, every single episode we seem to be getting these different issues kind of popping up, so I'm just kind of interested to see what's going to round out the rest of the season.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll have more of the gorilla. I feel like, though, now that the gorilla has... I'm assuming it worked and she's pregnant.
Dude, but I feel like Bill has like some kind of god complex happening right now.
Oh yeah.
You know?
And that fits into totally with his feelings of I'm going to take on Dan Logan and I could treat Virginia like this, but she'll come back to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Jane, you know, I think Jane's intentions. At first I thought, and I wrote down, like, oh, Jane wants to have an affair with this guy, Keith. Jane likes Keith. But I actually do think Jane's intentions are pure.
And now
I don't think. Do you ever see that movie, The Sessions, with Helen Hunt?
I did.
Where she plays like a sex surrogate.
That's great.
I think that's what Jane
that's
is going
to become. That's what Jane wants to be.
I think she's going to become that for this office. I think she's going to end up being that sex surrogate character who helps people who have dysfunctions.
I will level with you on this point. I think you're right there. I don't think that her marriage with Lester is very healthy
at
the moment. So other than that, yes, I'm totally on board with. I totally think that she just really thinks that she has a purpose, and this is her purpose.
I think in it, and you know, to that point where you just said, I don't think the marriage will survive her being a sex surrogate.
Agreed.
But I think that's what she's going to do.
Lester's maybe a little too fragile.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't, you know, it's like I saw that movie with Helen Hunt. She was doing good, important work,
really,
but I don't think I'd be open-minded enough to be with someone who's sleeping with other people,
her
even if it's
in
for
that
a greater
movie
good.
Was like really, really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. Yeah, it's going to be after this episode. I am interested to see if maybe it'll be a little more toned down next week.
Yeah,
I feel like we had a pretty wacky one.
There is no way, because there's not going to be anyone exposing themselves to a gorilla next week. I assume.
I don't know.
You never know.
I hope not.
I mean, like, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be very curious to read the comments from the viewers here.
Me
because
too.
I'm. This episode made me a little flustered, and I wasn't sure if I wasn't sure how I felt about it. I don't know whether it's like the most interesting episode or maybe not the best episode.
You know what? It was interesting. Was it a little all over the place? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were kind of all over the board, which is totally fine.
Like I said, my thought was about the tone. Like, I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to be laughing or taking this seriously.
Yeah.
So, I'm very excited to know what all of you think on
that. Let's talk about the monkey business.
So, As we go. Quinn.
You guys can find me on Twitter at QuinnSkillian. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram. And you can search for me on Vine at the Quinn B.
Excellent. And you can follow me on Twitter at The Real Will Link. And you can also listen to my pop culture comedy podcast, Will Sean Podcast. Yes, it's a question.
Will he?
Find out by finding it on iTunes and listening. If you like us on here, you'll like me on the show. So there you go. Listen to it. Thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.